spiritual gift of leadership, especially for those who are their gift is dormant. They're not using it for your glory at this time in their life, Lord. In this season, I pray that you would stir deep within them a longing, Lord, to be leaders that you've called them to be, as well as all of us, Lord. Please help us. Please mold and shape us according to your will. And help us to hear your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. As I was mentioning in prayer, we're in a series talking about spiritual gifts. We're focused primarily on the gifts that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12. We've talked about mercy and teaching, compassion, things of that nature. Today, we're going to talk about the spiritual gift of leadership. So how many of you, thinking about, you know, leadership and leadership styles, how many of you have been a boss? Have you ever been a boss? A few people, okay. Maybe, have you ever supervised people? Anybody been a supervisor? Okay, all right, good. Well, these first few slides have to do with different leadership styles. Now, I'm just going to show you some slides, and you raise your hand if you identify with any of them, okay? Here's the first slide. Does it describe you? I think, I think Donald Trump's up in the right, and in the middle, I think that's Hillary Clinton, I'm not sure, but anyway, how about this? This next slide, maybe this describes your leadership style. The slave driver, okay, in case you can see that, the bully, the hero, or the manipulator. I don't see any hands going up. Okay, all right. Oh, there's one, okay. We got one honest person in here. Too. Okay. Well, you know, unfortunately, both of our presidential candidates embody all these styles, so we're in trouble. Okay. My goodness, you guys are not in a good mood today, are you? Anyway, so hopefully none of these embody your own personal leadership styles, wherever God has called you to lead. But maybe these are some of the leaderships. Maybe this is some that would represent you. The guy shaking the hand and encouraging somebody, you know, that boss, the top. You know, he's getting carried off by all of his employees as they celebrate. Now, that world's best boss, I want you to know, I've got one of those cups on my desk, and I didn't buy it for myself, okay? I'm telling you, I got that for Christmas, one of the guys many years ago. In fact, I'm thinking the one on the bottom right, I need to buy about 70 of those for Christmas presents this year. Are you guys looking at that? It's funny. All right, maybe 70 won't do. Maybe I'll buy 150. Okay, anyway, leadership in business, at a school, in a government, in a country is vital to the organization achieving its goals and objectives and staying on focus with its vision. Without good leadership in our families or our organizations or our churches, we are left adrift without vision. Solomon wrote this nearly 25 years ago. He said, where there is no vision, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, unfortunately, sometimes people will perish even with good leadership and not necessarily good vision, but with good leadership. Consider these men and the success they had as leaders. Adolf Hitler, he became Chancellor of Germany in 1933. Mao Zedong, Chinese Revolution, People's Republic of China. Alexander the Great conquered the known world, probably the greatest military mind of all time. And Pol Pot killed one-third of his entire nation. Okay, the character of a person is more important than the perceived or real success of their leadership. Seriously, who cares if we achieve our goals if they're taking us to the wrong place? And certainly these leaders embody that. This is why Paul gave such a thorough and explicit qualification for the leaders of the church. And here's an abbreviated list found in 1 Timothy chapter 3. He says, they are to be above reproach, husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, not given to wine, patient, not a brawler, not greedy, not covetous, and a good reputation in the community. Now, these are not just good qualifications. These are not qualifications for a good elder, but they're qualifications for a good leader, a godly leader. And Paul reminds us twice in 1 Corinthians to imitate him. He says, and you should imitate me as I imitate Christ. People are looking for authentic Christian role models, people who are worthy of our imitation. Now, most of us as leaders or would-be leaders, we fail to recognize the power of our example. When you are a leader of a family, a business, school, or a church, you are influencing other people in a positive or a negative way, exactly as John was saying during community meditation. Your lifestyle, your conduct, your speech say more about you as a leader than some kind of badge or degree or position that you hold. People do not follow badges and degrees. This week, we're looking at the spiritual gift of leadership. In Romans 12:8, Paul says, if God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. Lead with diligence and without ulterior motives. Paul is referring, of course, to the spiritual leader of the church, leadership of the church. And this Greek word that Paul uses for leadership is proestemi. And this word means to lead or to assist, to protect, and to care for others. And here's some examples in the Bible where it's used. 1 Thessalonians, Paul's writing, he says, dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. And in 1 Timothy 3, again, the qualification of an elder, one of them was, for if a man cannot manage, proestemi, his own household, how can he take care of God's church? And further in Acts 28, so guard yourselves and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock, his church purchased with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as leaders. The characteristics of a person with this gift is a person who leads relationally, bringing people along, not just a taskmaster, not just good at getting work done, but focused on the people and the relationships. This person is a risk taker, willing to take chances, and they surround themselves with other people of high character. It's so important as a leader to surround yourself with people of high character. This is what David said in Psalm 101. Listen to this. Think about David as the leader. He says, I hate all who deal crookedly. I will have nothing to do with them. I will reject perverse ideas and stay away from every evil. I will not tolerate people who slander their neighbors. I will not endure conceit and pride. I will search for faithful people to be my companions. Only those who are above reproach will be allowed to serve me. I will not allow deceivers to serve in my house, and liars will not stay in my presence. What is David saying there? He's saying my role, my position as leader and authority over my kingdom, over everything, is so important that I need to protect my people from the wicked influence of having people in my inner circle. He says, I won't allow their presence to infect my leadership and my authority. So he was mostly concerned not about himself, but about protecting those he was supposed to care for. He is the shepherd. He's not going to surround himself with people that would influence him to be wicked with wicked ideas and thoughts. And this is a godly example for all of us. Who are you surrounding yourself with? Who are you listening to? The Bible is full of many examples of great leaders. Abraham was one of them. In Genesis chapter 12, the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. A great leader trusts the word of God, goes where he's told, and he brings those who are closest to him along with him. Nehemiah was a great leader. When Nehemiah heard about the condition of his city, Jerusalem, he sat down and wept. He fasted and mourned for days and prayed. In his first visit, he met people and he had compassion on their situation and he identified with them. He didn't hold them at arm's length. He said, we and us. Listen what Nehemiah says. I had not spoken to the Jewish leaders, to the priests, the nobles, and the officials, and anyone else in the administration. But now I said to them, you know very well what trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace. How are leaders to lead? With diligence, with urgency, with haste, with earnestness. They are to seek to teach and encourage other people to follow. A good leader follows God, trusts God, and brings people along with him. They lead by their example. People that you are closely connected to, they see how you live. They notice your disposition and your attitude, and they learn from observation as much, or if not more, from the things that you say. So what is influencing, leading the people around you? We model it. In the bulletin or in the evangel, there's a quote from Leonard Ravenhill. It says, no man is greater than his prayer life. No man is greater than his prayer life. Do you believe that that is true? How about no man is greater than his devotional life? No man is greater than his obedience. No man is greater than his worship. No man is greater than his love for God and for others. Do you believe that you can lead somebody to a place where you have never been yourself? Now, I'm trying to think of a place I've never been. If I were to get in the car and desire to drive to Wyoming, you know, off the top of my head, I don't even know where Wyoming is. It's north somewhere, right?
Maybe a little west.
Okay, north and a little west. See, if you want to learn, if you want to go to Wyoming, right there, that gal, she can send, or maybe she, anyway, the point is if you want to go somewhere, wouldn't it be helpful if the person has already made the trip themselves and they can tell you how to get there? Absolutely, it would be. You cannot lead someone where you have never been. But maybe you're like Charles Barkley. You guys know who Charles Barkley is? Maybe you have no intention of leading anyone anywhere. Charles Barkley once said, I am not a role model. Just because I dunk a basketball doesn't mean I should raise your kids. If you are a Christian, a disciple of Jesus Christ, this is not a biblical, God-honoring attitude. Of course you're a role model. We were saved from our sins so that God can make us into a holy people. He could bring us along and lead us so that we can help other people follow as well. All of us helping other people follow Christ and get following them themselves. We are role models, not just with our kids, but with our neighbors, with our coworkers, everybody that you could sit down and write a list of every person that you see on a regular basis. You are a role model, whether you like it or not. Do you want your kids or your spouse or your friends to be interested in reading the Bible? Do you have any interest at all? I mean, do you want to pass that on, the hope that we have for salvation, knowing who Christ is, what he did for us? It's all in Scripture, right? How are we going to influence them to go to a place that we have never been? Do people around you see you reading it? Do they see you getting your spiritual nourishment from this? Or do they see it collecting dust? Your example is worth more than what you say. How will they know to find Christ themselves if you're not leading and explaining, teaching, and setting a good example? Now think about this for a moment. Where are we in our country? This nation is in a moral free fall. Isn't that true? Christ is not honored. Christians are ridiculed for our beliefs, and many believers ourselves do not understand the most basic elemental truths of Scripture. And how has this happened? How have we come to this point in time when the church has so little influence over the world, let alone our own families, our own lives, and people who are Christians? This happened because we've been left adrift without biblical leadership. It's just like the YMCA. Do you guys know what the YMCA's original mission statement said? Good, because I'm going to read it to you. Here we go. The Young Men's Christian Association, YMCA, seeks to unite those young men who, regarding Jesus Christ as their God and Savior, according to the Holy Scriptures, desire to be His disciples in their faith and in their life, and to associate their efforts for the extension of His kingdom amongst young men. That is the original mission statement for the YMCA. This is the mission statement for the YMCA in Cambridge, Massachusetts. The YMCA family is to promote and inspire lifelong development of children, adults, and families through programs that build healthy spirit, mind, and body for all. Doesn't even sound like it, does it? Jesus Christ, Christian, has been completely removed from Young Men's Christian Association. Consider this statement. Consider this mission statement. To be plainly instructed and consider well that the main end of your life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ. You know where that mission statement comes from? This is just like when we played, what was that game? Just like when we played Bible Taboo. We're sitting there dumbfounded. No one had any answers. Anyway, to be plainly instructed and consider well that the main end of your life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ. This is the mission statement when Harvard University was founded. They were founded with the ideas of academic excellence and Christian formation, raising up godly men to lead their churches, there was a big vacuum and hole in our country in that day. Their legacy for academic excellence is still intact, but its mission is no longer reflects the founder's vision. What has happened? What has happened is mission drift. No longer do people care or concerned whatsoever about the founding ideals of the person who established this organization. And the same thing has happened in the church. We need godly leaders in our country. We need godly leaders in our state, our government, and our schools. We desperately need them. But there's almost, to be honest, nothing practical that anyone in this room can do about it. I know that we can pray and pray that God would raise up godly men and women who are inspired to lead us in these places. However, there is something that you can do about the godly leader in your home. You have total control over that. You have no control over here. You're totally helpless. But you have total control over your home. Who's going to be the godly leader in your home? Who's going to be the godly leaders in this church? You have a say in that, above and beyond praying. And it starts with all of us. Who are you following? Whose example are you following to become the leader that you want to be? Are you bothering to follow anybody? Or are you satisfied with who you are and where you are, and you have no interest in advancing? So part of that is on you. I can't control your desire to be discipled, to be taught, to be led. You are in charge of that. No one's going to put that inside you. Now, doesn't matter who you are, where you are, whatever position in life, you have some leadership role. You are influencing other people. Who is watching you? Think about the people that are watching you. You cannot say, like Charles Barkley, I am not a role model. And then shazam, you're no longer a role model. It's not true. As followers of Christ, all of us are expected to lead others, to disciple others, to set an example, to model Christian behavior and demonstrate it by our faith and our actions. I don't know where you are as you hear this. Are you a person who has faith in Jesus Christ? You truly love Jesus with all your heart and your soul, that at one time, maybe last week, maybe last year, maybe 50 years ago, you decided to yield and surrender your life to Jesus Christ. You understood and you knew the principles of Scripture, and yet you have been so uncommitted to it for such a long time. You have drifted away from these foundational truths that once gave you joy and peace in your heart. You've experienced a personal mission drift. You're no longer following the purpose and the mission for which God has called you. The purpose and mission which God rescued you, brought you into his family, and began to work in you. You said, I'm finished. This is good enough. This is what's happened in the church for the last 50 or 100 years, is the church has decided to elevate people into leadership because of their social status. Well, so-and-so is a nice man. He's a banker. Hope there's no bankers in here. He's a banker. He's a, you know, a teacher, a superintendent. We elevate people based upon human characteristics or things that we see in the world. We think they'll be a good leader, and yet that's not biblical leadership. We have lost sight of our purpose, which is to make disciples, which is our mission. To be invested in, and then in turn to invest in others. And here's the issue. It requires time. It requires commitment. And it requires vision. Are you willing to let someone else pour into you that you might become the disciple and then eventually the godly leader that he wants you to be? You know, I was just thinking about this morning. I passed out to the elders a little, several pages at the beginning of this book, an introduction about biblical eldership. And it says in there, who are your elders going to be in 20 years? That's a good question, isn't it? Well, maybe these guys will be, you know, we'll collect them around the nursing home and we'll just sit up there and do the leading out there. No, I'm just kidding. They're not that old. But who are going to be the leaders? The fact of the matter is there are not going to be any elders in this church to hold to the foundation and carry the vision forward unless we intentionally go out and develop leaders or develop disciples. It has to be intentional. So we have to pursue that. It takes time and commitment and vision. And if you are willing, God will take you from where you are today, whatever state that is in. Are you completely backslidden in the midst of a personal mission drift? Are you separated from God because of poor choices? You know, today you can renew your faith. You can say, Lord, I know I am distant from you. Please search my heart and remove every desire and interest inside me that is contrary to your will. Everything that keeps me from following and serving you. Help me. If you would simply say, I repent, I surrender, and I need your help. Forgive me, Lord. He will renew you and renew your faith and set you on the course. And if you are here today and you have never said, I want to know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, maybe you love the idea of Jesus. Maybe you love being in church. Maybe you like being around Christian people. But do you have that personal relationship with him? You need to decide that for yourself. Pray with me now as we close. Father, we thank you for giving us the spiritual gift of leadership for the church. Lord, you knew that the church needed leaders to hold to the vision, to not drift away from what you have called us to do in your holy word. Father, I pray that all of us in whatever role we serve, whether it's in the family or with a circle of friends from school or in the workplace, that all of us look at ourselves and examine whether or not we are the biblical, godly people that we should be. The others should be emulating us. Lord, help us to say like Paul did, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Help us all to fulfill that and want that more than anything else, Lord. Work it into us now in Jesus' name. Amen.